Well, to discuss more, I'm joined on the line by Dr. Raihan Ismail, who is a lecturer at the Center for Arab and Islamic Studies at the ANU College of the Arts and Social Sciences. Welcome on The Daily, Raihan.
Thank you so much, Miles.
So what will this victory mean for the global fight against ISIS? Is this the beginning of the end of Islamic State?
I think definitely when we talk about the Islamic State, the Islamic State as an entity, as a territory, will disintegrate. They are already disintegrating. However, the problem with the Islamic State is the ideology. And as long as you don't solve political grievances, social grievances on the parts of many Muslims living in the Middle East but also abroad, the Islamic State's ideology will continue to inspire those who are radicalized and those who are looking to validate themselves.
And how will the people of the victory impact the people of Iraq, given that there was a great deal of bloodshed and violence during this battle, and it's a lot of civilians, military, and the broader form of governance within Iraq? Is it going to be something that's empowering for a lot of the everyday citizens there?
Yes, I think Iraqis are genuinely celebrating the fall of ISIS, at least the fact that they've managed to reclaim Mosul. And it is fair for them to celebrate that. But the harder work must begin now. And if you look at Mosul, it is about rebuilding Mosul. It's about promoting social cohesion in Mosul. The fact is, many of its citizens have been traumatized by ISIS, but they were also targeted by US-led airstrikes endorsed by the Iraqi government, and the Iraqi government also participated in that. So you're dealing with a population that is deeply traumatized. So we're dealing with a population, particularly children, who must be rehabilitated as well, because many of them have been indoctrinated by ISIS. So I think more broadly, it seems that there's a lot of work to be done by the Iraqi government to actually make sure that they're able to promote social cohesion in Mosul.
Okay, and I want to ask also about the actual destruction in terms of sites within Mosul. Islamic State did desecrate a few areas. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And it seems it is part of the Islamic State strategy to destroy ancient sites, because they see ancient sites as un-Islamic because they were, constructed before the advent of Islam. And therefore, they have a very distorted and strict ideology when it comes to ancient sites. And I think it is a tragedy that these ancient sites were destroyed by ISIS. And that's definitely is going to have a lasting impact on Iraq's cultural heritage. But at the moment, I think the focus should be on the population of Mosul and also reconstructing Mosul. It's not going to be an easy task at all. But the main problem, I think, for the Iraqi government at the moment is not just to focus on Mosul, but Iraq in general, because one of the problems that forced the citizens of Mosul to support ISIS in 2014 was because the Sunnis felt that they were being marginalized by the Iraqi government. So it is important, it is imperative on the Iraqi government to promote a reconciliation plan that is inclusive. So I think that is going to be tricky, and there are a number of challenges when you look at that as well.
Yes, now it is quite a complex diplomatic and political situation over there. It does seem that there isn't really a sense of a good and bad side in terms of those strict dichotomies. In fact, there are a lot of different factions amidst the whole conflict that extends to Syria as well, where you have Kurdish rebels, where you have anti-government insurgents here as well as Islamic State and government forces and coalition forces, and all seem to have a degree of civilian blood on their hands in the area. How does those relationships get resolved? Because that seems like the bigger challenge, and it seems like you've alluded to that as well.
Yes, I think that is going to be very difficult. I think all parties must come together, and that's what, at least the international community has an important role to play in order to promote reconciliation. I think it's not going to happen without the encouragement of the international community trying to get everyone to the negotiating table. At the moment, even when you look at external forces, they are taking sides, and I think that's going to be difficult. in the context of Iraq, as I've said earlier, you have to address Sunni grievances. And there are factions in Iraq who are trying to promote cross-sectarian cooperation. However, they are prevented by external forces. So you have Saudi Arabian-Iranian rivalry playing a role in preventing a genuine cross-sectarian cooperation in Iraq. So again, there are challenges, but I think it is possible for, you know, it's a distant reality, but it is a possibility for Iraqis and also Syrians. In the context of Syria, it's more complicated, and that is another issue as well. But in the context of Iraq, you have genuine political forces who are trying to promote cross-sectarian cooperation, and I think it's about ensuring and empowering these groups to actually promote social cohesion in Iraq. But I don't think that's going to be an easy task, because you have other political challenges and also external challenges facing Iraq.
Okay, now with the territorial disputes in Iraq now move forward in a positive light with this victory providing the political challenges, I mean, because that seems to also be a huge part of it, as well as those territorial, the geographical disputes over land and territory. Is that going to be made any easier, do you think?
Yeah, I think when it comes to Mosul, perhaps Iraqi politicians would be able to bring Mosul back to be part of, you know, the Iraqi state, and therefore try and promote, to reconstruct Mosul. I think that is probably not going to be as difficult as dealing with the Kurdish issue. Because when you look at the Kurdish issue, I think at the moment Iraqi Kurds are seeking an independent Kurdish state, and that is will certainly frustrate the Iraqi government. The Iraqi Kurds have promised that they would like to pursue this through dialogue with Baghdad and regional powers. But I think this is going to be a sensitive issue, even when you're looking at disintegration of the Iraqi state. So at the moment, I think the Kurdish issue is definitely going to further destabilize, will destabilize Iraq further. So that's going to be a question. That's going to be, you know, something to watch out for in the coming weeks.
Indeed. Now, finally, and just briefly, if possible, what is the response now necessary from the UN and countries worldwide in the global and united fight against terrorism? Given that the victory has potentially exposed weaknesses by other sectarian and radical groups, particularly in the Middle East, if we can stay on that area and zone.
I think the most important thing is to deal with, you know, existing grievances. And we can talk about terrorist groups. Even in the case of Iraq, you had problems in 2005, but they were able to reach out to the Sunnis who were frustrated with the political system in Iraq, and yet they were not able to actually promote genuine reform. And I think that's going to be the main problem. So it's more of a long-term fight against terrorist organizations. So you can fight them militarily today. However, you have to deal with local grievances, issues that they're dealing with, political issues, economic issues, social issues, that, you know, prevented Iraqis from actually reaching out to their governments. So I think as long as you don't address these issues, you're not going to be able to solve the problems in the Middle East, but also the issue of terrorism in general.
Dr. Rylan Ismail, thank you very much for joining The Daily.
Thank you very much for having me, Miles.